Well, I have a lot of precious memories, and your pastor and their family was a part of our ministry, and we love them dearly. I almost wished I was a multi-millionaire, and I'd offered him a multi-million dollar salary to keep him, but I'm glad to be here. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. And my wife was with me, too. We've been married now 7 years. Yeah, we both lost our mates. She lost her mate, husband of 48 years, 2 months after I lost my wife of 47 years. And we met at church. I went there to present the ministry. I was not looking for a wife. When I say that, everybody laughs. Yeah, you know. But I wasn't. I really wasn't. And in fact, she had rings on her fingers from her marriage. She hadn't taken them off. So when I met her, and I didn't know she wasn't. It wasn't until after I preached and I came down and she said, you know, you and I have something in common. I said, what's that? She said, well, I lost my husband to cancer 2 months after you lost your wife to cancer. I said, well, then we need to be prayer partners and pray for one another. She said, good. And we chit-chatted a while. And then she said, you know, you remind me of my second husband. I said, well, how many husbands have you had? She said, one. I'm lying. I did finally. We did start courting. I did ask her to marry me. She said, no. I said, why? Is there somebody else? She said, there must be. So, but we have been had a wonderful one. I've had her in 7 years. I've had her in 47 states and a lot of them more than once and had 8 foreign countries. So we've been having a wonderful time serving the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Really am. And I tell you what, this is a good church. You got a good spirit. I mean, you really do. My goodness. And if you're visiting here, don't go any further. You found it. Don't go any further. You're in it. Just recognize it. Have your Bibles turn to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter, verse number 12. Acts, the fourth chapter. Let me say this. I'm glad to be saved. I got saved July 2nd, 1961. So I've been saved 54 years coming up in July. And shortly after I got saved, God called me to preach. And I preached for 53 of those 54 years and pastored 40 of them. And had a wonderful, wonderful time serving the Lord. God has been so good to me. And I just thank Him. This is the most exciting thing there is, being saved and knowing it. You know that? It really is. I don't know I can't remember. I've been saved so long, I can't remember much of how I thought before I got, you know, really. I got saved when I was 22 years old. I'll save you in math, I'm 76 years old. Where's the look of disbelief? when I look back and look at what God's done in my life and think of all the blessings and so on, I tell you what, I'm just glad. And I'm glad that never in all those almost 54 years did I ever doubt it. I never did that. I questioned it. Everybody, the Bible even says in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, and so on. And I examined it. I had a preacher come to my church one time, preach for me one time, and he must have ate mean pills every morning, you know. But he got to preaching on hard repentance, and man alive, I said, ooh, wow. But it didn't shake me. I know. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. In fact, I'm experiencing a little heaven now every day of my life. Really am. I said, well, if you're not enjoying your salvation, something wrong, man. I tell you what, this is wonderful. but anyhow, I was not raised in a Christian home. Was not exposed to the gospel. I was the first, like you said this morning, I was first generation Christian. My wife was first generation Christian, if you'd asked me when I was 15 years old what a pew was, I wouldn't even know. If you asked me what a pulpit was, I don't know what a pulpit. I never saw a pulpit, never saw a pew, never saw the inside of a church until I was 16, I went to this modernistic liberal church, when I left, I said I felt like I broke the trespass law. And nobody said, hi, how are you? Who are you? Will you come back or anything? It was just the most unfriendly, cold experience. And so on. I made up my mind. I'm not going back to anything like that because I thought all churches were the same. All churches are not the same, but I did not know. I had no idea. How do I know that the guy that came out to preach in the church I was in that morning had a dress on? I said, what? I know it was a black, long dress. The robe looked like a dress to me. And so on. I said, why has he got a dress on? And so I thought all churches like that, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever it had church on it and a steeple. I said, that's what it was going. But it wasn't. It's not the same. And when I was 22 years old, my wife and I were invited to go to this little elementary schoolhouse. It's actually a public school. And they had started a church, a preacher, and there were about 35 or 40 people in this elementary school classroom. And they had services. And I didn't want anything to do with God. The only reason I came is because my wife cried and said, oh, let's go. And a couple that invited us. Don't give up on folks. Just pester them. Go after them. You know. Where are you going to drive them off? To hell number two? Hell number three? Huh? And anyhow, we went. And in the invitation, the preacher that started the church was sitting with me and my wife, trying to get us to go forward and go get saved. And I thought, saved? I said, I'm not drowning. What's he talking about? I had no idea what saved meant. Had no idea. In fact, I used to, well, people come around and witness me, I'd get mad at them. I'd cuss them out. I'd run them off. At work, I did. I just cussed them out and run them off. Now, you have to keep that keep this in mind when I say that, because I only weighed 106 pounds when I got married. Yeah, 106 pounds, soaking wet, full of bananas. I was so skinny, I had to tease the hair of my legs, keep my socks up. I'd run people off and so on. And but this time, I finally got up the front, and they took me up, sat me down in front of everybody. It was just a classroom. There wasn't anywhere to go. But I was sitting there, right there. And the preacher opened up the Bible and read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said to me, now, Fred, he says, you make up the world, don't you? He said, you didn't come in the last spaceship. He asked me that. You didn't come in the last spaceship. I said, no, sir, I didn't. He said, let's put your name in here. For God so loved Fred Schindler. When he said that, I said in my heart, I'm going to listen. I'm not going to fight and rebel. I'm going to listen to what this guy has to say. I'm so glad I did. Because for the first time in my life, I understood that this fellow, Fred Schindler, was a sinner. He's lost and on his way to hell. And that God loved me and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and was my Savior. And died for me and was buried and rose again. He's living and he wanted to save me and forgive me my sins. I said, I want that. And I got saved. I got born again. I mean, God changed my life. Never a million years would I believe that something like that could happen. But God saved me. And now I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Now here it says in verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's only one person, one name, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why it says the name, the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. Somebody answer me. Who was George Washington? First president. So his name tells you who he is and what he did. Right? So when you get saved in the name of Jesus, you're talking about who he is and what he did. It's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, who died for our sins and was born again. Raised again and is living. See, you get saved. There's only one person, only one way, only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. See? And there's only. But I want you to notice that phrase. He said, whereby we must be saved. I've entitled my message this morning, Why I'd Get Saved If I Were You. Why I'd Get Saved If I Were You. Let's pray. Father, please, what a blessing this choir, special music, the congregational good spirit here. And I believe that you've blessed us with your presence. And I pray now that you'd bless us with your power. You'd speak to hearts. Help me. Lord, please help me. Be a blessing. Help me to speak and to preach that which you'd have me to preach. And may somebody today, somebody, you put this on my heart, Lord, somebody's going to get saved or somebody's hearing a message that they ought to get saved. So please help me, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. It says here, we must be saved. That's God saying that. So when I thought about that, I said, then why aren't some people saved? Why don't they get saved? You know, well, I can kind of look back at my own life, and I can tell you some reasons. But the fact is that some people never get saved. It's because they think they're all right. They really do. They think that they're good enough. They say, wow, I haven't killed anybody. I didn't rob any banks. I try to be nice. I'm a good neighbor. And, you know, I pay my bills and everything. And I don't exercise road rage. I'm a good person. And they always talk about how good they are. But the real truth is, if we all knew you like God knew you, we'd see some other parts of you that aren't so pretty. Same with me and everybody in this room. So the real truth is, not everybody is good enough. Nobody is good enough to get into heaven. And it's because of the fact that we are sinners. Okay? And the fact is that many of us, even though we have not done what we think, you know, you say, I'm not Hitler, you know, I murder everybody. The real truth is, all of us need to be saved. All of us must be saved. There's a lady one time, she witnessed her, and she said, well, I'm not a murderer. I don't do like a lot of people. I'm a good person. I don't sin much. You know, I'm okay. And so the question was asked and said, well, do you think it's possible that you might have sinned at least three times a day, one in word, one in thought, and one in deed? Do you think that's possible? No, if you don't, in your heart, don't you think that you could admit to the fact that, yes, I probably have sinned at least once a day in thought, and in word, and in deed? I think would. If you say no, not me, you better meet me after, because I'd like to meet you. Maybe there'll come a place in the Trinity and we can get you in there. I don't know. But the real truth is, no. Obviously, you have probably sinned in word, deed, and action somehow every day of your life. Well, if you did that, that'd be three sins a day. In a year, that'd be 1,095 sins. If you're 30 years old, that's 32,000 and more sins. The question is, if you die, if you live pretty good between now and you die, what are you going to do with the 32,000 sins? You think God's going to let you in heaven with the 32,000 sins that you've committed? No, we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think also, not only do they think they're good enough or they don't think they need to be saved, they're trusting in their religion. They're saved. You know, you talk to him and say, well, I believe in God. I have faith in God. Well, the devil believes in God and trembles, see. And some people say, well, I go to church. I was knocking on doors. I'd say back when I was about 30 or 32 years old, I was pastoring and I was knocking on doors. And at that time, I was 30, 32 years old. This lady came to the door, and she was, I think if I remember right, she was 78 years old. And one of the sweetest, nicest ladies. And in fact, at the time I was talking to her, I got to tell her, you know, I've never had a grandma. When I grew up, my grandmothers had died, and so on. And I never grew up knowing that's grandma. And I thought, man, I wish you were my grandma. She was so sweet. And so I started talking to her. And I asked her, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I said, if you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven? She says, well, I think so. I said, well, what are you trusting in to get you there? She said, well, I was a Sunday school teacher in a Methodist church for 52 years. Whew, think of that. 52 years she's taught Sunday school faithfully every Sunday. Huh? You know what she's really saying? She was saying, you know, I went to church every Sunday. I even taught Sunday school. So a lot of people believe because they go to church and so on, like, they're okay. They joined the church. She said, well, if I walked up to you tonight and I said, or this morning I said, hi, and I started talking about the Lord, you say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Catholic. You'd have some little escape clause there. You know, I'm a Baptist, I'm a missionary. As though that is going to get you in heaven. So a lot of people believe just because they happen to be a member of a denomination or a church or something like that, or they just believe in God. Some say, well, I was baptized. The priest, minister sprinkled water on my forehead when I was just a baby, and now I'm a Christian, so on. Some say, well, I got baptized, immersion. You know, you can get baptized, capsized, galvanized, and simonized. But you're not going to get to heaven because of your baptism. But some people believe that. Some people believe that. And some people can believe they're getting to heaven because of the fact that they are good people and they're religious and they believe in God and they try to be good neighbors and so on. my wife and I on the road most of the year. When we get home, we live 55 minutes from our church, because when I married Linda, we already sold our home and everything. I was in full-time evangelism and missionary work at that time. So we still go back to the church I pastored for 26 years. We're sent out from that church. So we drive back, and when we get home, if we can get the visitation soul winning, we try to get there and go soul winning. And so one day we were out knocking on doors, and there was a house that the steps went up to off the street, quite a distance up, maybe two flights of stairs. There was a man standing up on the porch. So we walked up there, and I started talking with him, and I said, you know, we chit-chatted a while, and I said, I'd like to ask you a question, I could. He said, sure. I said, if you die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, yeah, I believe I am. I'm okay. I said, can I ask you another question? I said, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? He said, well, I'm doing the best I can. That's what he said. I'm doing the best I can. I said, if you could do the best you can and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? If you can get to heaven because you're baptized, why did Jesus die? If you get to heaven because you joined the church, why did Jesus die? If you get to church because you joined the church somewhere, why did Jesus die? Jesus says you must be born again. If I had cat had kittens in an oven, it wouldn't make them biscuits. So we live in a Christian country, and we go to a Christian church. So the real truth is, if we could do anything to get to heaven, why did we have a Savior come and die for us? What is Jesus all about? Why did he say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. See? So a lot of people have some idea they're going to heaven because of the fact that they're trusting in their religion and trusting in, they believe in God. They really do. They believe in God. So, but God, let me ask you, if you believe in God, do you believe what God says? Huh? Okay, if you believe in God, God said, whereby we must be saved. So can I ask you a question? When were you saved? Now some people, and a lot of time back years ago when I was a kid growing up, and a young Christian even, I'd go to church, and we would have men who were in the war, World War II, and then later in Korean War, and then the Vietnam War. And many of them had foxhole salvation, we call it. They were in the battle, and the bullets are flying, and they said, oh God, you saved me, get me out of this. I'll serve you the rest of my life. That's foxhole salvation. They're not getting saved. Their soul's not getting saved. They're trying to get their life saved. And some people believe that that's the way, and they look back to that, and they think that's what saved them, you see. But the real truth is, you got to come to a place in your life where there was a time in your life, and you know, I got saved. When you think about it, get saved from what? What are we getting saved from? First of all, getting saved from hell. You see, if we're a sinner and we have sinned against God and we die in our sins, God can't let us in heaven. And the Bible says if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So when you get saved from hell, see? And then you get saved from the power of sin, see? And so you need to be saved. God says that. Now, also God says in the Word of God, in John the 3rd chapter, said there was a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, Master, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except he's from God. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, how can I be born when I was old? Must I enter my mother's womb and be born? He said, that which is born of water is water, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Marvel not at what I say unto thee. Ye must be born again. You must be saved. You must be born again. You're not getting to heaven unless you go God's way. You've got to go God's way, not your way. God didn't give you any provision how to save yourself. If he did, he'd have to give everybody in the world who's ever born and give them their way. They want to be saved. But the truth is that we're sinners. We've sinned against God, and God wants us to go to heaven, and God loves us, doesn't want us to go to hell. And so God has provided for you and I salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. So you and I must be saved. We must be born again, and so on. So God said so. That's why you need to be saved. There's no way you can rid yourself of your sin debt. See, if you decide, well, my life's a mess, and I feel bad about some of the decisions made, and I'm going to go to church, and maybe church will help me get my marriage straightened out and get my life straightened out. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to try and do better in my life, and so on, and so on. But you do that. But what about your sin? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our problem is we have sinned against God, and we have a sin debt. Something has to be done with our sin, because the sin has come between us and God. See, that's why when you get saved, one of the things about getting saved, you get your sins forgiven. But the real truth is there's no way for you and I to get rid of our sin and have our sins forgiven except through Jesus Christ. I think also because, another reason why you need to get saved and why you must be saved is because you need God in your life. The real truth is you're not doing very good without God. You're really not. You be honest with yourself. You say, I'm not doing very good. You need God in your life. And I thank God, one of the wonderful things about salvation, first of all, God come into my life and God began to help me. I had a lot of problems. I had problems in my personal life. I'm talking about me, Fred Schindler, 22 years old. I had problems. I needed God to help me. See? And when you get saved, God comes and lives in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and He gives you the help you need. There's a lot of people that need God in their life because they have personal sin problems. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to it. They can't get away from it. Can't get out of it. That's why we're starting all these programs with addiction programs. Why? Because so many people are addicted. Why are they addicted? Because they have a sin problem, and they're addicted. And God really, in any program that's trying to get a person from being addicted, has got to be tied to Jesus Christ and salvation, and then it's not going to work. See? And so we have marital problems, child-raising problems, financial problems, health problems. See? And so we need God in life because we need a God who will listen to us and help us and answer our prayers. We have my wife and I, actually on Linda's side of her family, they had your grandson. They had a little baby, and the baby got really, really sick, really sick. And they ended up taking him to the hospital, and boy, he's on the phone calling, wanting prayer and everything. And I thought, man, isn't it a shame that you don't really pray yourself and you can't get a hold of God yourself? Now, I don't mean we shouldn't pray for him because of that, but I'm saying, boy, it's pretty bad when you get in real trouble and you're not saved and you don't have a God to go to, and you know that God's going to hear you. You know that God's going to answer your prayers. See? And we have a lot. I thought this too. Got a lot of political problems. When I say about political problems, I'm talking about where's our nation going? What's going to happen in our country? What's going to happen around the world? It's getting worse all the time. I mean, it's getting bad. One of the things that happened in the last, I won't say this because you really, you think about this. A couple of weeks ago, and maybe I'm going to ask you how many heard it. How many heard about Russia and Iran signing a pact together, military protection pact? They did it together. They signed it. About 5, 6, 8 people. You know how significant that is? Go home and read Ezekiel 38 and 39. Read about the battle of Gog and Magog that's going to happen probably at the rapture, just shortly after the rapture. That's about Russia and Iran, or Persia, as mentioned in the Bible. It's called Persia. Persia is Iran, by the way. Iran is Persian. And they're joining with Togarma, which is Turkey, and Gomer, which is Germany, of all things. But anyhow, there's going to be a pact between Russia and Iran, and they're going to come down and attack Israel. That's going to Ezekiel 38. Read it when you get home. See, and I'm telling you, this nation is, I mean, this world is running as fast as it can towards the great tribulation period. You have a right to be scared. You have a right to wonder what's going on. You have a right to be alarmed. Things are going to get a whole lot worse. And but thank God, if you're saved, you're going to get raptured and you're going to be taken out of here. Amen? Now, so you need God in your life 24/7, but you don't have God in your life if you're not saved. If you're not a child of God, you're not saved. You don't have God. What happens when you get saved? Well, there's 6 things I want to leave with you. I won't preach them all, just give them to you. Some of them I'll preach a little bit on, okay? Number 1, your sins are forgiven. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Do you believe you're a sinner? If you don't believe you're a sinner, you can't get saved. You know, great preacher one time had a lady come by. He stood at the door and shook hands with him and everything. The lady come by, and he'd been witnessing to witness to her. And again, he talked to her again about the Lord coming by in the morning after the morning service. And she said, I don't need to be saved. I'm a good woman. And he said, well, ma'am, you know, and he's talking. She said, I told you I'm a good woman. I don't need to be saved. He said to her, I'm sorry, then you're going to have to go to hell because Jesus didn't come to save good women. He came to save sinners. Yeah. See, and the real truth is you need to recognize in your heart that when you get saved, your sins are forgiven. I this is a sidebar, okay? I was with somebody, a great preacher one time years ago, and he said to me, if I had lived my life over, and he's in his 60s, he said, I only have one regret. First of all, I was born at night, but not last night. There ain't no way you can be 60-some years old and have one regret. They're not. And the real truth is, you and I have a lot of regret. When I got saved, I was 22, but I had a lot of regrets. That regret was tied to sin in my life. See? And the real truth is, you and I can't get rid of that guilt. We can't get rid of that sin except by being saved. And one of the wonderful things about salvation is you get your sins forgiven. Gone, gone, gone. They're all gone. Secondly, you are born into God's family. You're looking at a child of God. My daddy is a heavenly father. Behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hey, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm in God's family. God's my heavenly father. We got a guy, a neighbor, we witness to Linda all the time. He always talks about the man upstairs. The man upstairs. I got news for you. He's not the man upstairs. Huh? But a lot of people think of him that way. And he kind of does said that kind of proudly. I got news for you. Heavenly Father is my heavenly father. Okay. I was out witnessing in Philadelphia when it was Operation Go years ago, and a retired Jewish rabbi came to the door. He said, and I started talking. He went like, I'm not interested. He said, I'm a retired rabbi. I said, I'm okay. I said, well, I said, I'm a Jew too. I said, my older brother's a Jew. Come on, catch up. Yeah, I'm a part of the family of God. See? And when you get saved, you get your sins forgiven, you become a child of God. And not only that, but you come into a proper relationship with God, a proper relationship. Before you're saved, you're an enemy of God. Before you're saved, you're alienated from God. Huh? But when you get saved, you become a child of God and a friend of God. And God comes into your life and changes your life. See, and then he begins to pray, prepare for your home in heaven. You know what? I was a pastor for 40 years. Listen to me. Nobody goes to a funeral and says, that old guy, he's dead in hell. They all said, well, you know, he had some problems, but he's a good guy. He's better off now. Huh. I got news for you. He's not better off. He's not saved. If he wasn't saved, he's not better off. He's worse off he's ever going to be, and he's never getting out. He's going to go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever and ever. So a lot of people think, when you go to a funeral, have you ever been to a funeral that everybody stood back going, that old boy's in hell? No, they got him in heaven no matter what. I don't care how bad he is. If they were standing over the casket of Hitler, they'd say, well, you know, he had his problems, but he's better off now. They got everybody going to heaven. I'm telling you, you're not going to go to heaven unless you're born again. You're not going to go to heaven unless you're saved. See? Something else. You have assurance of salvation. Assurance. I know this, that I would, you know, if somebody said this one time, if you could be saved and not know it, you could lose it and never miss it. Let me say it again. If you could be saved and not know it, you could lose it and never miss it. But I'll tell you something, when you're saved, you know you're saved. And I like this verse in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For if our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Much assurance. You can know that you know that you know that you know. When you get saved God's way, you know, because God saves you, changes your life. See, not only that, but if you get saved, you get the joy in your heart and peace with God in your soul. You get a new life in Christ. When I got saved, I became a new person. Nobody believed that Fred Schindler was could be a preacher, nobody. Years after I got saved, called to preach, pastored. In fact, by the time I got out to Pennsylvania, I went back to Michigan, looked up my old buddies that I knew back when I was a teenager, run around teenager. And I called one of them, and all they're excited. Yeah, why don't you come on over? And he said, we'll get, and he got another couple that both of the guys were guys I run with. So we went over, and there they were, and man, we laughed and sat down and talked and fellowship and everything, and all four of them were lost. And finally, the one girl, one lady, she said, Fred, I need to ask you a question. I said, what, Agnes? Her name was Agnes. I said, what, Agnes? She says, how in the world did you ever become a preacher? That's the way she said, preacher, you. Huh? I said, I'm glad you asked. I just started telling them all about how they got saved me and how that man, how God had changed me. They couldn't believe that here, Fred Schimmer, he's a preacher? No way. But I was, because God not only saved me, he changed my life. And I got news for you. You get saved, you do get a changed life, but it's changed from the inside and changes your whole life. Okay, how do you actually get saved then? How does a person get saved? How can you know that you know? Well, number one, you got to hear the gospel. Now, the gospel, according to the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 says, he said that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. In other words, according to God's word, God's gospel to you. If you're here tonight or this morning and you're not saved, I got news for you. Good news. Jesus died for your sins. Your sins don't have to keep you out of heaven. Jesus died for your sins. That's good news. Because there's nothing else that God's going to accept except Jesus Christ and what he did. See? So you can know you're saved. Why? Because if you hear the gospel. Now the second thing is, you have to believe the gospel. Here. Not here. Here. Huh? I was, what time are we supposed to get done? 20? Yeah. How many give me 5 more minutes? 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I was going to give an illustration. I'm going to give it anyway because I feel led to do it. All right? I was out. In fact, this lady, remember I told you the 78-year-old grandma lady that I talked to about the Lord? And so I found out she had taught Sunday school and everything. So I said, let me show you something. I turned to 1 John, the 5th chapter. First time I ever used this, soul winning. God just put it out of my heart when I was talking to her. And I says, this is the record, right there. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt know that you have eternal life. Well, getting saved is knowing you have eternal life. And so I said to her, I said, now, let me ask you something. I said, and I had my New Testament. And so I pulled my New Testament out, and I said, let's pretend that this is a, I'm going to take this track and put it in this New Testament. I said, now, wherever that New Testament goes, I said, what goes with it? She said, the track. I said, that's right. If I send this New Testament to my boy, he's going to get the New Testament. He's going to get the track because the track's in the New Testament. I said, the Bible says here that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I said, look, here's what happens. Like this track. Let's make this eternal life. Make the New Testament Jesus. So God put eternal life in Jesus. And wherever Jesus is, that's where eternal life is. So I took that New Testament and put it behind my back. I asked her, I said, wait a minute. Do you believe this is the New Testament? I said, look at it now. She looked at it, and it was. She said, that's a New Testament. No doubt about it. It's a New Testament. I said, this is a track? She said, yes, that's a track. I said, you see it? It's in here, right? Any doubt about that? She said, no. So I put it behind my back. I said, now, do you have this New Testament and track in your possession? She said, no. I said, but you believe it's a track in a New Testament, don't you? I said, see, your problem is you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe he's a Savior. You believe he died and was buried again. See, but you've never received Jesus in your heart. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you don't have what? She said, I don't have life. Because eternal life is in Jesus. So if you just believe, just like she believed the New Testament, she believed it was a tract, but she never received. See, she believed that Jesus Christ was the Savior. She believed that Jesus died for her. She believed that Jesus rose again. She believed the gospel, but she never received the Christ of the gospel in her heart. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So when you get saved, how you get saved, you've got to not only believe the gospel, but you've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. You've got to repent. You have sinned. You must repent. That means, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, God. You've got to repent. And then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, calling is, you don't get saved by calling. You believe and it brings about a call. See, if you really believe you're a sinner, you really believe you're going to go to hell when you die, then you would call upon him. And from your heart, you'd call, God, I don't want to go to hell. God, I want to be saved. I want to have eternal life. And you call upon him. See, we have churches filled with people who somewhere back yonder as a child prayed, dear Jesus, come in my heart. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Everyone. That means that child. That child, and Jesus said, a child does not get saved like an adult. An adult gets saved like a child. That child then has to believe the gospel. The child must believe that she's a sinner or he's a sinner. They got to be old enough to comprehend they have sinned against God and that Jesus came and died for that sin, was buried, and rose again. That's called the age of accountability. See? And so, therefore, you and I need to realize that just praying a prayer is not going to save you. It's believing. And the believing the gospel, believing that Christ died for your sin, it brings a call. Oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, God, I want to be saved. That's what calling upon the name of the Lord is. So you want to get saved, you need to come tonight, this morning, because you've heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, you're repenting in your heart, you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him, call upon him, and receive him as your personal Savior. That's what salvation is all about. You say, well, I'll think about it. Okay. Because it's your decision. But there ain't any other way to get saved. Jesus said that. So if you have never, ever in your life, somewhere, come to God in repentance and asked God to forgive you, believing that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came and died for those sins, was buried and rose again, he's living and he's the living Savior, and you need Christ to forgive you and come in your heart, I'd be very, very careful. Because you're not good standing if you died. It'd be bad news. Okay? Now, I've been in this church now. I told the last service I probably preached here, I think, somewhere close to 50 times since the 80s, back when Brother Fowler was the pastor and everything. I've known you, and I see faces. I don't know your names, but I see your faces. And I know you from being here before. So I'm going to take a little liberty. God put this on my heart. Last time I was here, you asked me, last year, you asked me to come and preach. And I preached a very, very simple. In fact, Dr. Smith put the salvation message I preached here in the sword. In the sword. I sent it to him, and he put it in the sword. You can read it. And it's strange. I started praying as soon as he called. God went, and God laid this sermon on my heart. So simple. And I know this is a grounded church, man. I know this church. This church is not filled with a lot of lost people. I know that. You just be around here. I don't think this preacher stands up saying, man, I got 80% of my people lost. Huh? But it's for somebody. Somebody needs to stop wrestling, stop fooling around, get honest. Yes. Say, I'm stopping the fight. I'm going to get this thing straightened out. I'm going to get saved, get this behind me. Yes. See, and I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is, but God does. So let's stand to our feet, please, and bow our heads.